corporate fasting represents a significantly neglected spiritual discipline in the modern church, despite clear biblical precedent. Drawing from Jesus' teaching, which contrasts joyful secret fasting with the gloomy public displays of the Pharisees, corporate fasting should be characterized by joy, prayer, worship, anticipation, and dependence on God rather than human effort. In this episode, Tommy is joined by Anton Bietger, an elder at Brackenhurst Baptist Church in South Africa, as they discuss all things corporate fasting. Here is episode 58 of Imprint Out Loud.
Imprint Out Loud is the audio podcast of Imprint, which exists to leave a healthy mark on the church in Africa through trustworthy biblical resources and training of local church leaders.
Hi everyone, we are back on air with another guest, Anton Bietger, elder at Brackenhurst Baptist Church. He's becoming a regular on the podcast, which I'm excited about. And today we're going to discuss fasting. Welcome, Anton.
Yeah, it's good to be back.
Anton, a couple of months ago, I preached on fasting from Matthew as part of the Sermon on the Mount. And part of the conviction that grew in my heart that I shared with the elders was about corporate fasting that I think is neglected. I mean, fasting in general is neglected.
Yeah, one of the most neglected spiritual disciplines, I would guess.
Yeah, and then obviously even more so as a corporate fasting. So I made the point in Matthew 6 where Jesus compares the fasting of the Pharisees and the fasting of his people. The Pharisees looked gloomy. God's people looked refreshed. The Pharisees wanted to be seen by others. People of God wants to be seen by God, because he sees in secret. And then the Pharisees, they receive their reward, but the people of God, when they fast, their reward is from God, and possibly even later on in life. And then the lessons that we learned from it was, we need to anoint our head with oil, which speaks about joy. Fast for the Father who sees in secret. We need to engage in worship while we fast, which is something we can discuss. And then when we fast, we need to fast prayerfully. When we fast, we should fast with anticipation. When we fast, we should fast growing in our dependency of God, in God, on God, just like prayer, and that's why they go together. And when we fast, we need to do it joyfully. And then I went through all the scripture verses, Joel 2, and Acts 14, Acts 13, when they fasted for the elders. And then 2 Chronicles 20, which all addresses, and then Isaiah 58, all addressing corporate. So we are instructed to corporately fast as a congregation. And basically with the same means, like joyful, expectation, prayerfully, whatever else. And then some people said we should teach on it more, hence this podcast. What would corporate fasting look like in your eyes?
Yeah, so maybe just a disclaimer, I don't feel like an expert in this topic at all. I think there's nothing like spiritual disciplines to humble a person, because certainly if you just take the discipline of prayer, who would feel like they've arrived when it comes to our practice of prayer and our appreciation of prayer? So very much the same thing, but even more so when it comes to things like fasting and meditation and other things. And it's interesting how these disciplines are all linked. There are very few that you'll practice in isolation. So fasting is obviously linked to prayer in pretty much every case. I actually can't think of an instance in Scripture where fasting and prayer didn't go together. And quite often you're praying about, you're fasting about a particular matter. So meditation would come into it. Obviously all of this is directed by scripture, so scripture reading comes into it. And so, yeah, certainly this is one of those topics where I don't have all the answers, but I've got some ideas.
Yeah.
Because like you, this is something where I've realized that I think the modern church falls short. We're very much about efficiency and comfort, and fasting doesn't seem to be either of those two things. It feels a little pointless. If you've ever fasted, you probably find yourself wondering what this is accomplishing. People sometimes say, well, the fast, when you're hungry, you're gonna think about praying. Quite honestly, I find the hunger to be quite distracting. It's easier for me to pray when I'm comfortable. And as you've said to me before, the more you fast, the more your body does get used to it. So that sense of hunger is not always as intense as it might have been when you first started. So sometimes I think it can feel a little pointless. But we're instructed to do it. We see the examples of various men and women in scripture. And so I think we need to act in faith. But how that actually works out, I think, is probably going to be quite different from person to person, situation to situation. And I do think that the Bible, while it speaks a lot about fasting, it doesn't actually give us a whole lot of definite prescriptions on how it is to be done. So in terms of corporate fasting, I think there's a huge degree of freedom and latitude that we have as a community to decide how we're going to do that. So like the Lord's Supper, we know how to celebrate that. We know the point of it. We know how not to do it from the Corinthian church. And yet it's when you eat. And so we can decide, are we going to do this every week? How much, what are the quantities of the food and drink? I think it's probably going to be a similar thing for fasting. But if we want to get down to actual details, I would imagine that there needs to be at least some recognition of the fact that there's a huge variety of people within a congregation. There's different ages. There's different physical constitutions. There's different abilities to endure suffering.
Yeah.
There'll be endurance athletes in a congregation. There'll be those who've never, walked further than 5Ks. So I think there probably wouldn't be a completely uniform way of us all doing it together. It would probably more be a case of us agreeing that we need to fast about a particular matter. And then I would imagine it's probably going to be helpful for us to agree on some particulars, like the duration of the fast. I think you made the point quite convincingly that fasting in scripture was generally depriving oneself of something which the body needs, which is usually food. You can fast from other things, but when we're speaking about fasting as a spiritual discipline, it's usually going to be, I'm not going to eat, or I'm not going to eat and drink. Personally, I've never fasted from drinking, but eating certainly. So we want to decide how long we're going to fast for, what we're going to fast from, why we're going to fast. And perhaps is there a way in which we're going to do this corporately? Is this going to be something which we all do in the comfort of our own homes, but we're doing it at the same time? Or are we going to fast and come together for prayer? So I don't know if you've got any.
Yeah, I think those are really good lines that we can address. I agree with you on those points that as elders, we will issue out a call for a specific reason. We want to fast for the unemployment and underemployment in the church. We have this project. We have a new elder, potential elder. Let's fast and pray about those things. So it's the reason why we fast. How we fast, let's give it a week. So you can decide, I'm going to fast from this Sunday to next Sunday. Yeah. That's on you. But I think the duration or the period for a week is just also wise. You're a dentist. If your blood sugar is going to fall, you're going to shake or whatever. So you need to be wise about when you fast. So you might be able to fast on a Saturday when you're not in the theater or whatever. Or you're prone to, you've got diabetes and you need to. So let's fast just for the morning. So it's a time period that you can decide then as an individual, because we're fasting corporately, individually, I'm going to fast on that day with the church. And then how we do it, we can get into now. But I think it definitely has a purpose. That's what scripture says. You fast for a purpose.
Just ask, you mentioned the elders calling for a fast. Some people might wonder, why should the elders be the ones calling for this thing? It seems like the elders want to direct.
Yeah, I think the elders are, I love how you turn it on me. I believe that the elders are called to lead in worship, and a spiritual discipline is for worship's sake. So we would then call, hey, let's worship God or express our dependency on God for this reason, for this period. I believe, and I'm convicted that elders dictate worship and spiritual growth, and we need to lead by example. So we will call the church, like we would call them to worship in a morning service. We call them to, and we carry that authority and responsibility. And that's another reason why I'd laid a heavy on my heart preaching on this, and now I'm not leading in this, actually telling the church we should corporately fast.
But if a church member was to say, hey, you know, I really think that it would be worth us fasting about a particular issue, mm-hmm. how would they go about?
I think approach one of the elders, and then express your desire, and then we can, what's the right word? We can test it,
evaluate whether that's,
and then call to. For if that comes from the congregation, yes, I think I that's where I think if someone individually stands up and calls the church to a fast, they were like, wait, what? Hang on a second, what? Where are you in this?
Yeah.
But if an elder speaks up by the authority of the word, the congregation should react. So if an individual comes to us and say, hey, I've got a burden for our missions giving, can we please fast to increase our missions giving? That, to me, scripture speaks all over it. So, yes, let's do that. We're not all knowing, so the congregation might be sensitive to certain aspects of the church, and if they approach the elders, absolutely, we can call for a fast.
So that's really helpful, because clearly there's certain things which would be appropriate for a congregation to fast for corporately, and then there's other things which would be entirely appropriate for individuals to fast for, but we wouldn't see that as something that the congregation would come together for. So, you know, a particular person is struggling to find a job. Mm. Well, that's a perfect opportunity for that individual to fast. And they could even call on some friends, mm-hmm. or they could come to the elders and say, hey, won't you pray and fast with me for this thing? But we're probably not going to call the church to fast for something like that. Mm. We're probably going to be calling the church to fast for that which is going to affect us corporately. So if there's a widespread problem that the church is feeling burdened about, or if there's something related to the mission of the church, and we run into this sort of thing often when it comes to, hey, can you announce this?
Mm.
Or can we preach on this? Or whatever the case is, we as elders do have the responsibility to evaluate and ask, is this in line with what Christ has commissioned the church for? Or is this something which may be a very good thing, but it's not the mission of the church? That's the reason I asked that question, of course, is because elders do have the responsibility of helping the church to stay on mission.
Yeah, on the line of...
Otherwise, the church can be involved in a lot of good things, but quite quickly lose its identity. And so I think you do need to recognize that there's certain things which are appropriate for the church to fast over, and there's certain things which are not corporate related.
I wonder, and it's just a comment in a question form, and we don't have to discuss this, but I wonder how good or well churches would have been during COVID if we all fasted. We were not unified, we were dispersed, but we could have actually called a corporate fast while we were not together to maintain the unity and the bond of peace during a very hostile period.
Yeah, and you think of all the anxiety that was going around at the time, and the financial needs and that sort of thing. I think that would have been a perfect opportunity. It's something that's affecting the body.
Yeah.
to different degrees, sure, but it's something which affects us. So I think what we're fasting over has to either be related to the mission of the church or something that as a body we are burdened about or ought to be burdened about.
Yeah, something that, has an effect on the body.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's the what we would fast for. Now, how we would fast. So I made the comment of it's not a mass of individuals that by chance is fasting at the same day.
Yeah.
It is the issuing of, hey, church, let us all fast together. But there is an individual aspect to it.
Yeah.
So I asked you, because I know you do fast regularly, I fast regularly. So let's just bounce off each other how we individually fast for these individual members to hear when we do call a corporate fast, it is an individual fast, but corporately.
Mm-hmm.
So just run through with me how you would fast individually, that when we issue a call of church, let's fast for X, then they know what that would look like in their own personal lives as they fast corporately with together.
Maybe to start off with, just that whole corporate identity. I think we are far too individualistic nowadays. Mm. And so the same way that as a family, you can speak about we, even if not everyone is doing that to the same degree, I think we need to be thinking that way when it comes to the church. Mm. And so there is this, there's a sense of momentum, a sense of togetherness that comes when we are going to be doing something. So yeah, how that looks, we'll get into it. But how I've chosen to do it has been, I haven't done long fasts. I've got the type of physiology where I struggle to actually gain weight. And so I've always been a little nervous about fasting because I think, sheesh, I'm just going to waste away.
Mm.
And that's actually been a good thing for me because I've had to say, well, you know, this is something that the Lord has expects of us. Mm. He says, when you fast, don't look gloomy. So I need to actually trust him in that. Mm. And it's amazing how it hasn't affected me negatively. Maybe that's just my metabolism slowing down. But I think, you know, when it comes to people who struggle with various physiological things, you don't want to be foolish. And you might want to take things slow initially to see how your body reacts. But I think there is this element of faith in it where you go, this isn't what I would do, humanly speaking. This isn't like a healthy thing to do, but I'm going to trust the Lord in this. I generally fast for a day at a time. And that would mean no eating of any description. It would mean I will still drink pretty much anything, although I generally don't drink sugary drinks. So I'll have coffee and I'll have water. But I don't eat. And then I don't particularly use my hunger to as a spur to pray, but I will have time set aside during the day in which I pray, and I'll reference my fasting to the Lord, not in the sense of, Lord, you owe me now, but in the sense of, Lord, in faith, I'm doing what you have instructed me to do as an act, as a means of showing you, as a token of my sense of dependence on you. So please, would you hear me? This is something important to me. Personally, the matter that I fast about on a regular basis is the salvation of my children. This is something which I can't accomplish no matter how hard I try, no matter how much I want it. And so I really do feel that sense of dependence on the Lord. If he doesn't act, then all my efforts are in vain. And so my fasting, I feel, is an appropriate reflection of the fact that I can't do it without him. Yeah.
That's really good. For me it's similar. So I fast for the day. I'm more bigger boned than you are, so I need fuel to carry through. I break the fast in the evening. So I basically fast morning and afternoon.
Yeah.
And similar to you,
so it's a 24-hour thing basically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't use the hunger pains to draw me to the Lord. Sometimes I do, it just reminds me, hey, why don't you just pray? But it's more the attitude of, I used to set apart this time to eat. Now I'm going to set apart time to feed on the bread of life, Jesus. So I'm praying to him. But like you said earlier, I also add that time is not only prayer for me, but the things that I normally fast is also my kid's salvation, my marriage, the unity of the church. Mostly those three things I fast on. But then I link scripture verses to those specific topics. And then I read it, but then I pray those scripture verses to God as a promise, expecting, yes, he's going to save my kids in faith. My marriage, he wants me to love my wife. Ephesians passages, like, he wants my marriage to be healthy, so I can expect that. And he wants the unity and the bond of peace within the church. So I read the scripture verse, I pray that scripture verse through, reminding God of his promises. And again, it's not like rubbing a genie bottle. It's more of, Lord, this is me bringing these three items to you in dependence, because I know I can't do these things by myself. I'm depending on you. So through prayer, scripture reading, and now taking away food, life, I'm expecting you to answer my prayers in these areas of my life.
It's the same as prayer, basically. I mean, God doesn't need our prayers to act, but that's how he's ordained that this world works. He said, pray and I will hear.
Yeah.
And so we don't need to be overly concerned about the mechanics of it. Just pray. God uses your prayers in his sovereign action in the world. So you're not manipulating God with your prayers, and you're not manipulating him with fasting, but this is his ordained means by which he accomplishes his will on earth. And so do it in faith, and God will bless that.
Yeah. Someone after my teaching on the topic came to me, and we had a whole discussion, and it occurred to me, I think some of our members wanted more teaching on it. Not that they wanted more proof from scripture. I think I did that okay. But it was more in the case of, how are we going to do this? Hence the podcast. But I remember you telling me this, and then a couple of months later, it happened to me, that you were fasting, but it slipped your mind, and you took a bite of your kid's yogurt or something. And you were like, oh, did I break the fast now? It happened to say I made scrambled eggs for the morning, and I just took I licked the spoon and stuff. I was like, oh, I'm fasting enough. But then it occurred to me that it's not the break of fast. It's just, it slipped your mind. Let's get back on track. And I'm not saying now take out your lunchbox and then it's not a fast. But there's not, if you do it wrong, there's judgment.
Yeah.
It's just, okay, well, then you didn't fast. So we shouldn't see this as, oh, I did it wrong and now there's judgment. It's more like, you didn't really fast, so it wasn't a fast. But then work through it. So if we pull the trigger, when we pull the trigger, and it's a corporate fast, I think we're going to learn as we go along as well. There's a case of that.
I'm sure. Yeah, I think that is, it's helpful to view this in a positive light. We have the opportunity to fast. This is not something where if you do it wrong, you know, you've failed. This is something where I think, as you say, there's this growth that happens. So you try. Let me try and skip one meal.
Yeah.
And then see how that goes. So I would imagine that we could have a few different approaches to this corporately. The same way that some people have this ongoing prayer meeting, where you could, at different times, almost like a relay. So some people fast on the Monday, some people fast on the Tuesday, some people fast on the Wednesday, and like that. And as a church, again, the corporate identity, we've now been fasting for the week. So you could do it that way. You could do it that we're all doing roughly the same thing. I think that's probably unlikely, but you could have the majority of people doing the same thing.
Yeah.
Where, okay, we're going to fast for the week, but that means we'll break our fast in the evenings, similar to the way the Muslims do it during Ramadan. They fast for the month, but it's not that they don't eat. In fact, they make a bit of a mockery of it by gorging themselves in the evening. Or we could have a case of people doing slightly different things at around the same time. Mm-hmm. So we say we want to give these next 2 days to fasting, and so you do that however you feel will work for you. So some of us might be fasting for the 48 hours complete. Mm-hmm. Some people might choose to eat one meal in that day. Mm-hmm. Some might not eat hard food. But they'll have a shake, or they'll have an Energade or something to help with the blood sugar. Some might say, hey, I'm diabetic, I'd like to fast, but I need to monitor my blood sugar. And they do what they can. And when they see that things are not looking good, then they have a little bit of food, but they don't eat to satiate themselves.
Yeah. So it's a setting apart.
It's intentional.
Apart.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. 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 What I told this individual as well, the only way of fasting wrong, and we have scripture for this, was where the Israelites, in Isaiah 58, they fasted, and they're like, is this not fasting? But it was a wrong heart attitude. They wanted to change God, twist his arm for selfish gain. That's a wrong attitude. As the Pharisees, I'm doing this so that people might see.
Yeah, look how spiritual I am.
Exactly. Or grumpy. Or that's the wrong thing. If you accidentally do something, okay, well, next month, let's do it again and try as you and learn as you go along. So it's about a heart posture.
And chances are, as an eldership, again, because we're going to have to learn and grow in this, I would think we probably would land up starting off quite small. So maybe the first time we're not going to call for a week. Maybe we'll call for a day.
Yeah.
And we all just, on that day, we're going to, you know, be fasting and praying about a particular matter. And maybe it would be wise for us to look at doing that on a Saturday or even a Sunday.
Yeah.
When most people are not going to be working.
Yeah.
So we'll have to think about that. And I think there's going to be room for feedback.
Mm-hmm.
So we say, hey, this is what we're thinking.
Mm-hmm.
What do you guys think?
Yeah.
And then the congregation can give us feedback and iron out the bugs.
Yeah.
I think this is an opportunity for us to grow closer to one another as we have solidarity around a particular matter. Yeah. And it's an opportunity for us to experience God's grace.
Yeah.
I mean, how encouraging would it be for us to fast and pray for a particular matter and see the Lord answer?
Yeah, amen. So to wrap it up, maybe Pastor just to go and read Isaiah 58, 3-7. We've got 2 Chronicles 20, 1-4. We've got Acts 14, Acts 13. And we have Joel 2, verses 12-17. And then just to recap, we fast with joy. We fast to seek God for direction. And we do it engaging in worship. So we worshiping God through prayer, scripture reading. We fast in dependency. And we fast with anticipation. So I think that's Thank you for the chat, Anton. Always appreciate your wisdom, bro. Until next time, if you like the topics, send in more topics that we can discuss them, and like the episode and share it if you appreciated this. Until next time, catch you later.
Help further the work of Imprint by sharing this podcast with someone who might benefit from it, or by rating and reviewing it in your favorite podcast catcher. Visit imprinton.org for more resources and information about the ministry.